Everything that glitters is not gold. Now, I know that may startle some people because they look at Hollywood and the movie industry as something to be gained, a lifelong dream to be achieved. My guest today on this episode of Soaring Eagle Radio will give you quite a different perspective. Stay tuned for my conversation with John Robertson next on Soaring Eagle Radio.
Remember that your failure to be informed does not make me a wacko.
The time has come, the walrus said. You talk of other things, of shoes and ships and sealing wax and cabbages and kings.
My mind doesn't work that way. I got this real moron thing I do. It's called thinking. And I'm not a very good American because I like to form my own opinions. I have certain rules I live by. My first rule, I don't believe anything the government tells me. And I don't take very seriously the media or the press in this country.
Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
Nine most terrifying words in the English language are, I'm from the government and I'm here to help.
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Hello, and welcome to Soaring Eagle Radio. Your host is Mike Spaulding. Get ready to be challenged and encouraged as you consider today's news and Mike's commentary from a biblical perspective. Now, let's join Mike.
Hi, folks. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Soaring Eagle Radio. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and of course, you can listen to every episode on our website, SoaringEagleRadio.com. My guest for this episode is John Robertson. He's a 16-year veteran of Hollywood feature film, television, and commercial production. He worked behind the scenes at all of the major studios and networks, having worked on projects for such notables as Spielberg, Bruckheimer, Silver, Abrams, to name a few. He's been a writer and a researcher for 25 years, and his work and interests span far beyond his time in the movie biz. John's shows have engaged Josh Tawley, Doug and Joe Hagman, and John B. Wells with challenging perspectives and insights on geopolitics, the abortion lie, myriad preparedness topics, Luciferian Hollywood, and the daily battle that is Christianity at the end of the age. John is a regular contributor to the Hagman and Hagman Report, Outlaw Patriot News, and the Amateur Society. And he's working on his first nonfiction book entitled All Roads Lead to Babylon. It's a blessing for me to welcome my good friend John Robertson to Soaring Eagle Radio. Welcome, John.
Well, Pastor Mike Spaulding, thank you so much. And special thanks to Kathy and the team at Soaring Eagle Radio for allowing me this opportunity to visit with you here on nothing short of All Hallows' Eve.
Yes, and that that is going to be the subject of our conversation. In fact, that and many other things. And let me say this right off the bat, John. Before we get started, I want to encourage our listeners to get a pen and a notepad and get prepared to jot down some notes and do some research, because I can tell you what John's going to share is going to rock your world. And as is always the case, I encourage people to do some research on your own, and what you're going to find out is John knows what he's talking about. John, television is enamored with so-called reality shows, and at the top of the heap of the most watched programming is the myriad of music shows where contestants are all competing for the dream of making it big in show business. Hollywood is everything that glitters to a good many people, but the reality is quite different, isn't it?
Well, Pastor Mike, it certainly is. And what I'd like to offer the Soaring Eagle Radio listeners at the outset of our conversation this evening is a peek into the enemy's camp. And I want to give a quick nod to my brother and colleague, Pastor Paul McGuire, who really helped me frame a lot of these thoughts and insights a number of years ago that enabled me to actually begin my Damascus moment, the scales dropping from my eyes as I worked day in and day out at the major studios. So much of what we're going to cover tonight, folks, is a peek into the enemy's camp, but I want to encourage everyone with what Pastor Paul McGuire shared with me in a dark parking lot in North Hollywood one night. He said, John, you're doing good work, but make sure that you don't spend more time pursuing Satan than you do pursuing the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he punched me in the arm. And by the way, Paul McGuire throws a pretty good punch. So that being said, let's start with a quote from Anton LaVey. Anton LaVey, as a quick reminder to the listeners, started the Church of Satan in San Francisco back in the late 1960s. A number of Hollywood notables became members of the church, probably the biggest name being Sammy Davis Jr. And this is what Anton LaVey had to say, Pastor Mike, about television, and then we'll tie it into the reality shows. He said, and I quote, "Television is the major mainstream infiltration for the new satanic religion. It should be brought out that we not only condone, but encourage all types of what would be called sexual perversity and deviations, because we feel that in a few short years it will be established that everyone is a sexual deviant and pervert." In the Satanic Bible, LaVey explained, quote, that he was moved to establish the Church of Satan when he saw the need for a church that would recapture man's body and carnal desires as objects of celebration. The Church of Satan preaches a religious system that endeavors to overcome the repressions and inhibitions of human instinctual behavior it believes has been fostered by the Judeo-Christian religion. Television is the major mainstream infiltration for the new satanic religion, Pastor Mike. Now, in order to temper this with a comment on teen and tween and younger kids' sexual behavior with regard to television viewing habits, I just want to read quickly what Dr. Daniel J. Dinoon noted in his article on WebMD entitled Exposure to Child Teen Health and Behavioral Problems. And I quote Dr. Dinoon, "When the researchers looked at kids who said their parents strongly disapproved of them having sex, those who watched more than 2 hours of television a day were 70% more likely to have sex. And if sex-disapproving parents didn't monitor their teens' TV viewing, more than 2 hours a day of TV upped the teens' odds of sexual initiation by 250%.
Wow. Wow.
So, I pose this question to all the Soaring Eagle Radio listeners. Was Anton LaVey correct in his musings on the power and the potency of television? I would add, again, to temper the tone of this evening's conversation, some of the reality shows, I'm thinking of American Idol, do produce some viable, talented people. I'm thinking immediately, Pastor Mike, of Carrie Underwood. Her rendition of How Great Thou Art, one of the finest hymns ever given to the church, in my opinion, is fantastic on YouTube. It is she's coupled with Vince Gill, the famous songwriter out of Nashville, and they bring in a presentation for a Women in Country Music Celebration on YouTube that is not to be missed. How Great Thou Art. I challenge any Soaring Eagle Radio listener to not have goosebumps at the end of that performance. So not everything coming through television is directly from the kitchen of Satan, but certainly much of it is.
Yeah, and I think someone like Carrie Underwood might be an exception to the rule. If I'm hearing what you're saying and the foundation that you're laying here, John, I think that most people still believe that all it takes to make it big in Hollywood is to have talent, and certainly there is a lot of talent out there being demonstrated on some of these shows. But talent is helpful, but perhaps it's not the determining factor on making it big in Hollywood. How do people make it big in Hollywood? You've got a perspective because you lived it for 16 years.
Well, I certainly do, and this is where our Soaring Eagle listeners are going to want to take a seat, because one of the means employed to make it big in Tinseltown is nothing short of the sale of one's soul to Satan. Now, I would like to point out, with biblical context, that whereas we may stack silver and gold, listeners, whereas we may check our 401ks and our pensions, etc., the only commodity that the Lord God Almighty deals in is one's soul. That is the dollars and cents in heaven's ledger, period. Therefore, people who choose to store their treasure where it may rust or be stolen by thieves, as Christ admonished us not to do in the Gospels, people who choose this world over our eternal time with the Lord, they do so at their own peril, and they sell the most valuable thing they possess, certainly by heaven's definition, Pastor Mike, that being the sale of their soul. Now, many of your Soaring Eagle listeners, I'm sure, are aware that across this country and really across the world, if we look at Ephesians 6, 12, and 13, we are told that we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers. And doing a study into this, of course, indicates that Satan has an army that is built the same as any armed force around the world. He's got generals, colonels, majors, sergeants, privates, etc., that run given geographies. And they have this infrastructure, they have this architecture very precisely in place. And there are, Pastor Mike, demonic entities whose sole purpose, whether it be in Hollywood, New York, Toronto, London, is to inquire to would-be up-and-coming actors, singers, etc., do you want it? Do you want it bad enough? I've got the contract. And in some cases, I do not have this firsthand. I've conducted interviews with people about this, and as I'm sure you can imagine, Pastor Mike, it is difficult to find people who will talk about this openly, particularly if they've engaged in this demonic brokerage.
Right, right.
But there is, I'm careful when I speak about this regarding the methodology, again, going back to Paul McGuire's admonishment not to chase Satan too fervently.
Right.
But there are actual contracts that are written with specific verbiage, signed in blood and then burned. And that's in the terrestrial world.
So what you're describing here, John, is really a strong, overbearing, oppressive, Luciferian, what's a good word? Not
well,
just influence, but control.
Absolutely, and a thesis I'd like to weave into our time together this evening, Pastor Mike, is that of what is given to us as biblically, divinely accurate versus the counterfeit spinoff that Satan presents via Hollywood, via the music industry, via theater, the internet, Silicon Valley, etc. Let's take a quick look at Mark 8:36. I'll read from the King James.
Yeah.
For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Again, taking a look at a very similar scripture in Matthew, and I believe that's Matthew 16:26. I do not have it written down. But folks, when you see something nailed down 2-3 times in the gospel, pay attention.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, absolutely true.
You know, Pastor Mike, so often people ask, how can the selling of one's soul even be going on? We would have heard about it. And I would encourage Soaring Eagle listeners to take a look. This is where you want to grab your color crayon and the back of an envelope, folks. Take a look at some of the open source material out there. Now, my father, John Robertson Sr., is one of the pioneer Christian concert promoters in the country. He was promoting contemporary Christian music and Christian rock concerts back in the late 70s when, by definition of the mainstream church, that was an oxymoron, Christian rock.
Right.
So I have a unique insight into one of the primary victims of this demonic brokerage, and that would be Katy Perry. Katy Perry is on record, you can find it on YouTube, saying, and I'm paraphrasing, that she wanted to be the next big Amy Grant, but when she realized that wasn't going to happen, she sold her soul to Satan. It's right there verbatim. It's open source. You can find it. It's not only on YouTube. It's posted and reposted on YouTube. And that's particularly sad to me, Pastor Mike, because Katy Perry was an up-and-coming Christian rocker. I've seen her personally lead praise and worship back in the early 2000s when she was a teenager with a really promising career serving the kingdom with her talent.
Yeah, yeah. And she threw all that out the window. So folks are signing these contracts. They're being approached by Luciferian agents in Hollywood, signing away their soul in exchange for what, John?
Well, that is a tricky question, because what do we know about Satan as he is described in the Bible? Soaring Eagle listeners, saints, hear me. He is a liar, an accuser, a counterfeiter, a cheat, a thief, a murderer. Satan will promise you things that you will never see, and if you do see them, you will wind up in a disposition like Jay-Z or Lady Gaga or Nicki Minaj. Take a look at these people. Look into their eyes. Are they happy people? Do they have any joy in them whatsoever? Sure, they can buy anything. They can ride in a private helicopter from one rooftop to the next across multiple urban landscapes. But I ask you this, Pastor Mike, what happens, according to the inerrant word of God, if that helicopter were to crash?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. They're going to bust hell's gates wide open, John.
I'm afraid you are correct, sir. Taking a quick look at some of the people I just named, we're going to backtrack momentarily, listeners, and we're going to examine how Hollywood got its name. But before we do so, I want to point out that almost every celebrity or superstar I just mentioned has at least one admitted demonic presence living within them. Now, we know, Scripture tells us, that when a person's spiritual house is cleaned, if it is not maintained through the power of the Holy Spirit, that house will be infiltrated sevenfold by demons even greater and more powerful than the first. Let's take a look at some of these celebrities, Pastor Mike. We've got Beyonce. She is on record as saying she cannot perform. She says, yeah, I can hit the high notes, I can bust out the choreography, but I really can't get it done until Sasha Fierce comes in. When Sasha's here, then I get it done.
Wow.
Again, her partner, Jay-Z, a man I absolutely despise. Folks, I would push Jay-Z out of the way of a bus, but let me tell you, it'd be a hard push. Jay-Z goes by, and I want to really preface this by saying this is in no way a blaspheme on the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, but he has his friends, associates, colleagues call him Hova, which is short for Jehovah.
No kidding.
I would suggest that the Soaring Eagle listeners hear some of the lyrics to his quote-unquote music, but I think it might be wise to stay away from it. Let's take a look at Nicki Minaj. Nicki Minaj is admitted in a live radio interview a couple years back that the entity that lives within her is a homosexual boy who is murderous in spirit and incredibly violent named Roman. I didn't piece this together, Pastor Mike, until recently, but when you read the first chapter of Romans, it is very uncanny, again, looking at the satanic counterfeit. He spins, perverts, and warps that which is given to us in Scripture.
Yeah.
I think it is perhaps more than coincidence that the demonic entity living in Nicki Minaj is named Roman.
Mm-hmm.
Look at Eminem. He's got an alter ego, quote-unquote, Slim Shady. Same thing. What about Lady Gaga? Her real name is Gina. Gaga. Hova. All subscribing to the ultimate druidic, Celtic, ancient worship of Earth or Mother Gaia. You see, I believe, Pastor Mike, and this is just a hypothesis, that these demonic names are specifically childish in their cadence and pronunciation so that they seem relatively harmless.
Mm-hmm.
Mainstream journalists typically refer to them as an alter ego. And the last point I want to make about selling one's soul, the one that really breaks my heart, even worse than Katy Perry, is Bob Dylan. You know, Bob Dylan in 1981 released one of, I think, the finest records of all time, his 1981 title, Slow Train Coming. Folks, it is just such a beautiful, poetic, skilled testament to love for Jesus Christ. Bob Dylan had a collision with the Holy Spirit. He cut two records, Slow Train Coming and the following year a record that's titled Saved. Both are fine pieces of music and songsmith craftsmanship. However, You can go on YouTube and you can see Bob Dylan in an interview from about 5 years ago. The interviewer asks Bob Dylan, "You're 70-something years old. Why do you still do it?" And he says, "Well, it's a deal I made many, many, many years ago." The interviewer smirks and says, "Need I ask with whom?" And Bob Dylan smirks back and says, the chief commander. He's keeping up his end of the deal. I'm keeping up mine." The chief commander, quote-unquote, Soaring Eagle listeners, is not referring to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. Well, that begs the question then, how did all of this get started, John? What's the origin of the Luciferian influence in Hollywood, and what does that name even mean? Where did it come up with that?
Well, it, like so much in our modern world, there is a surface story, Pastor Mike, Soaring Eagle brothers and sisters, and then there's the real story. The surface story is that Hollywood is a shortened derivative of Hollywood Land, which was a successful real estate development in the Hollywood Hills that started in the late 1920s up through pre-World War II Los Angeles. And, of course, many of the stars lived up there and still do to this day. That's the surface story. To examine the real story, we need to do what we call in screenwriting smash cuts and flashbacks. So, folks, with your permission, Pastor Mike, I'm going to jump very quickly back and forth between early 20th century New York City and the cutthroat capitalism of the men that would ultimately create Hollywood, the vampiric entrepreneurism of these Lower East Side tough kids that came west and started the town. And we're going to need, in order to make sense of that, to examine 9th and 10th century Druidism and what would ultimately become the United Kingdom, the northern latitudes, particularly of England and Ireland, certainly Wales, and the Druidic ritual and rite that ultimately was handed down through an understanding of Jewish Kabbalah and mysticism, as well as numerology. Back to the early 20th century, here's what happened. The Thomas Edison Company out of New Jersey began producing something that the world had never seen before. Imagine this, listeners. Three-dimensional life depicted on a two-dimension plane. It had never been seen before. People would sit in the dark and actually reach out with their hand because their eyes were so mesmerized by this new technology of motion picture. And what happened in New York City around 1905, 1910, there was a Great Depression in 1907, and many small businesses had to shut up their storefronts in the Lower East Side primarily, but really all over the city. And what happened was these young, entrepreneurial, often fatherless Jewish kids from the Lower East Side, they had been raised, Pastor Mike, by the maternal figures in the family, their mothers, their grandmothers, etc., and often, not always, but often they were taught as part of the tradition of Jewish mysticism, they were taught Kabbalah. They were taught, quote-unquote, Bible code. That's a different show for another time.
All right.
They were taught numerology and the significance therein. So these young kids, they were fatherless, they were tough, they were edgy, they were juvenile delinquents, most of them felons. They weren't afraid to fight. They knew how to make a buck, and they weren't afraid to exercise Machiavellian pragmatism to get what they wanted. And what they wanted, listeners, was money. And motion picture came along and opened up the treasure chest. They began to show very simple 7 to 10 minute long motion pictures in these boarded up storefronts. They began to be called Nickelodeons. Now, everyone has heard of a Nickelodeon, and of course there's the Nickelodeon network that broadcasts quote-unquote kids content into homes of many of the listeners. Nickelodeon needs to be examined. It's called Nickelodeon, nickel being the 5 cents that it cost to gain entrance into the screening of these short films, these silent films. But we really need to look, Pastor Mike, at the word Odeon. Odeon is a little g Greek god of the theater. So we can see that as early as these screenings in early 20th century New York City, there was already Luciferian fingerprints all over what would become Hollywood. Nickel, 5 cents to get in. Odeon, the little g god of the Greek theater, also often noted as the little g god of the ceiling over the theater, and feeling is used in a number of different meanings. The overseer, if you will, of the theater. So here's what happened. If you wanted to show motion pictures in the silent era in New York City, you had a major problem because the entire production industry was monopolized under four names: Edison, Kodak, Marconi, and Tesla. These are the people that brought together the different ingredients that would ultimately become motion picture production. Edison had patents and a total monopoly on both cameras and projectors. You could not shoot film without doing business with Edison. And even if you could perhaps get a camera from France, you couldn't get a foot of celluloid nitrate film in early 20th century New York without doing business with Kodak. Marconi and all of his innovations in the field of sound would come into play about 15 years later with the 1927 release of The Jazz Singer, and Warner Brothers brought Sync Sound to the world. And then Nikola Tesla, who brought all of the innovations in electricity and electrical schematics necessary to light a set and make the entire production endeavor work. So what did these kids do? They realized that an enormous part of their profits from these Nickelodeons was going to these four robber baron innovators, and they decided they wanted to make their own films, but they couldn't do it on the East Coast. So these young kids, and Adolph Zucker, the founder of Famous Players Lasky, which would ultimately become Paramount, was one of them. They boarded a train west with their pockets bulging full of cash, and they made the trip out to the Southern California Basin, which at the time had almost no industry aside from agriculture. It was just a land of dusty orange groves and long sunny days. And they chose Southern California because prior to the advent of the arc light, the sunshine was necessary to capture what they would for the screen. So they came out to Hollywood. Now, keep in mind, I mentioned that these kids were well-trained in druidic mysticism through the Kabbalist teachings of their mothers and grandmothers, Bible code, Jewish mysticism, etc. Let's go back to 9th, 10th century England. Their Soaring Eagle listeners are probably familiar with this. There is an electromagnetic field around our planet, and where those electromagnetic lines intersect are called ley lines. Those intersections all over the world, be it Lake Titicaca, Stonehenge, the Tatum Mounds in Florida, these are very spiritually active areas. Again, different show for another time, but they are noted by many teachers and preachers in modern day to perhaps be even spiritual portals into what Paul called the Middle Kingdom or the Second Gate. Yeah. This would be the kingdom of darkness that is under the kingdom of light. Anyway, I digress. The point is, these practitioners, these witches, they were worshippers of Mother Gaia. They were worshippers of the earth. Why? Because it was all about food production back then. Mm-hmm. They tied their little r religiosity into the rotation and seasonal crop cycles. And they worshipped, and in some cases made sacrifices, to Mother Gaia. Yeah. Remember the names: Gaia, Lady Gaga, Hova. This is not coincidence. They would gather at places, Pastor Mike, like Stonehenge, where they would do their incantations, cast their spells, and a very important punctuation, if you will, to the casting of a spell, to this druidic ritual and rite, was the waving of the wand. Now, people trivialize wands in modern day because we think of wands as a Halloween costume, accoutrement, or Harry Potter or something like that, but wands were a very important implement in the satanic druidism of the 9th and 10th century. The druids had a specific wood to be used in their wands, and that was that of the Toyon tree, T-O-Y-O-N, Toyon tree. This is important, folks, because we're going to look for a moment here, in a moment rather, at Hollywood's connection to Halloween, and this is where it begins. The Toyon tree is representative of the capitulation from winter into spring. And it's the Toyon is the only tree in that area of the world, in those northern latitudes, that remains green year-round when everything else is dark, cold, skeletal. And the Druids marked the end of the winter solstice, December 21st, the longest day of the year. They marked that with the Toyan tree. They mark the end or the punctuation of a spell with the waving of the wand. The wand being made with the wood of the Toyan tree. Smash cut back up to the early 20th century. We're now in Southern California with these young vampiric entrepreneurs that are looking to make film in what would become in Los Angeles in the early 20th century. They knew, based on the teachings that they had received in Jewish mysticism, they knew about the Druidic culture. They knew the power of these incantations, of what they called dirtying the air in these ancient intersections of ley lines. They knew all about this stuff. They knew that the medium that they held in their hands, this mesmerizing ability to depict a three-dimensional lifelike story on a two-dimensional plane, Pastor Mike, they knew that they had their hands on nothing less than the biggest spell that would ever be cast over humanity. They knew that they, in fact, had firmly in their grip a wand more powerful than any the ancient Druids possessed. They knew that they held the modern Toyan wand. The Toyan tree in America, Soaring Eagle listeners, is the holly tree. These young entrepreneurs, Adolf Zucker included, knew that they had the biggest wand that would cast the biggest spells for generations to come, and still does to this day, that being Hollywood.
Wow. That is an amazing explanation, John, of where Hollywood came from. So at its inception, it was Kabbalistic. It was Luciferian. It was designed as a tool to mesmerize. But did they have a bigger end game in view?
They did. And I would like to read two pieces of scripture, the first being from Leviticus chapter 19, verse 4. Let's go to the King James Bible. It says, "Turn ye not unto idols, nor make to yourselves molten gods. I am the Lord your God." And in all the translations I've looked at, Lord is in all capital letters. So again, listeners, this is a pay attention moment. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 4. "Turn ye not unto idols, nor make to yourselves molten gods." Let's modernize the word molten. It's metal. Did Hollywood have a larger end game in mind? I would suggest when one watches the Oscars or the Emmys or the Screen Actors Guild Award, the Golden Globes, or even the Clios, what are all of those statuettes that these men and women are willing to sell their souls to obtain, Pastor Mike, if not molten gods?
Yeah, very good.
It's idolatry.
Yeah.
Plain and simple. I'll give one more verse and then we can move forward with your permission. This is from Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 5. And I'm going to go with the English Standard Version, which is, by the way, I use the ESV often for my research. Typically, I prefer the King James for on-air work, but the English Standard Version is very appropriate for our purposes this evening. Again, Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 5, quote, "Their idols are like scarecrows in a cucumber field, and they cannot speak. They have to be carried, for they cannot walk. Do not be afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither is it in them to do good. These statues that the entire town worships are just hunks of molten metal," listeners. Pastor Mike?
Yes. Yeah, and so how do we trace that then, John? You mentioned that we could trace this then to Halloween. What's the connection there between everything that you've just described and laid out for our listeners? And
this is where it gets tricky. This is where it gets tricky. Now, folks, if you're driving the car listening to Soaring Eagle Radio, keep your eyes on the road. But for everyone else, close your eyes for a moment. Imagine Hollywood in the silent era. It is, as the big-time YouTuber Stefan Molyneux so beautifully articulated, he called the early silent era of Hollywood stories blasted out to the world, filmed through the lens of a brand muffin. So we think of the silent era as Keystone Cops, the Max Sinnott Studios, some young child actors, et cetera, but to really examine Hollywood for what it was in the teens and 20s, you need to be willing to look into the opium dens, Warrens, underground Warrens, all under Los Angeles, particularly in the downtown and Hollywood areas, where one could go in and smoke opium all night long. Also popular at the time, cocaine shooting parties. Cocaine was fairly obtainable back then because it was still a legitimate pharmacological compound used for different ocular type things primarily. So cocaine was fairly easy to obtain, and the way to do it back then was to liquefy it and shoot it. Very common, not just with studio heads, but with the technical side of film production, the actors, actresses, etc. Speaking of which, Pastor Mike, even child stars in the silent era were often complete full-blown alcoholics by the age of 10. And when we look, you know, let me repeat that. Child stars in the silent era were in some cases full-blown alcoholics by age 10. Just want to make sure that that resonates with listeners. The theatrical carryover, much of film production, even in its verbiage, is borrowed from theater, which is actually borrowed from the nautical terms of sailing vessels in the middle of the 19th century. We can't extrapolate that this evening, unfortunately, for expediency's sake. However, there was a theatrical carryover of not only terminologies and methodology, but also the acceptance of sort of a sailor's lifestyle, the drinking, the acceptance of potential homosexuality type things, the drug use, the sort of port of call mentality, if you will. It was very prevalent in the silent era. Now, how does this all tie in with Halloween? I mentioned to Soaring Eagle listeners a few moments ago that in order to understand the dynamic of tonight, you've got to realize that God gave us specific instructions in his inerrant word, the Holy Bible. Satan cannot create. He can only counterfeit. And I would submit to all of the Soaring Eagle listeners tonight that Hollywood is a huge counterfeit. That's what it is. So looking at this these druidic, Celtic, Luciferian pursuers of witchcraft, they worshipped Gaia. They worshipped the earth. And what they did was they looked at a very important day in all evangelical Christians' histories, which is Reformation Day. Reformation Day is the name given to October 31st, 1517, when Martin Luther wrote his letter of protestation to Archbishop Albrecht and sent it off to Mainz and Magdeburg. And essentially, Martin Luther was slamming the Roman Catholic Church sale of indulgences. Quick definition of indulgences for the listeners. Indulgences were a scheme cooked up by wicked men whereby they convinced relatives of the deceased who believed that their loved one was existing in purgatory. They convinced them that with a payment of either sacrificial labor or money, that their relative would be sprung from the limbo of purgatory. I'm putting all that in finger quotes, up to heaven to be with the Lord. Essentially, it's important that the listeners understand that there was an era in the Catholic Church back in the 16th century where they had Catholics all over the former Roman Empire convinced that monetary supplementation of the church could in fact do the work that could only be done by Christ on the cross. Back to Halloween. The Druids, in their worship of Gaia, of Mother Earth, they noted that October 31st was primarily equidistant between the summer solstice and the winter solstice. Therefore, they noted that with it being the celebration of Reformation Day, also called All Saints Day, that why not use it as a total counterfeit to celebrate and to demonstrate the worship of Mother Earth. Well, we know that there is no goddess Mother Earth. That is Luciferian worship.
Yes.
And so the tie-in is frightening. Now, Pastor Mike, I often am asked this question with regard to Halloween. And it's just from, you know, decent Christian folks who ask if it's okay for their kids to trick-or-treat. A quick note on the concept of trick-or-treating. Trick-or-treating in and of itself is derived from what was called souling, S-O-U-L-I-N-G, or guising. And what it was in the 16th and 17th century, kids, but also adults, would dress up in masks. The masks were designed on All Hallows' Eve to protect them from the thinly veiled security between the terrestrial world and the spirit world. So they wore masks, and they often wore costumes as well. They would walk the streets reciting an incantation, a doggerel, if you will, in a monotone, suggesting that for the blessing of food, again, going back to the worship of Mother Earth, the crop rotation, the production of food, for the blessing of the receipt of food, they, in fact, would offer an indulgence, a blessing upon the soul of the dearly departed. So again, this was All Hallows' Eve was a counterfeit of the concept in the Roman Catholic Church of indulgences. And the last thing I would like to add is that for every listener who went to church last week or intends to go this Sunday, what I'm talking about right now is nothing short of the impetus of our churches in the, you know, American postmodern church, for lack of a better term, because it was Martin Luther's protestation against the concept that man could purchase salvation. I mean, what a slap in the face to Christ hanging on the cross. Wouldn't you agree, Pastor
Yes,
Mike?
Absolutely so. Yes.
So Martin Luther's protestation, again, counterfeited by Satan into All Hallows' Eve. It's a horrible story. But his protestation, folks, those 95 theses tacked on the door at the Castle Church in Germany, that is the beginning of the evangelical church in America today. Pastor Mike?
Yes, that's correct. And so it's a counterfeit. Now, that's something that Hollywood does very well. They actually are very good at scripting a competing message with the scriptures. A lot of movies, John, I've noticed over the years, and I'm no movie critic. I'll say that right up front. I don't spend a lot of time because I don't go to movies, first of all. But when I do, on occasion, see one on television that interests me, and I watch it, I see in a lot of instances there is a competing worldview, competing directly against Christian theism, and often they try to recast it or re-message the Christian theistic worldview message into a competing message. And I don't think that's an accident, John. I think those directors and producers and script writers, they know exactly what they're doing. What's your take?
I can assure you and the Soaring Eagle listeners, they know exactly what they're doing. I'll go over this quickly. It falls under the topic of Hollywood's control and mental conditioning over the minds of filmgoers and television viewers.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to give a quick history. I'm going to do this very quickly, but folks, if you are interested in further detail about much of what I'm speaking with Pastor Mike Spaulding here this evening about, feel free to go on YouTube and check out a couple of my shows on the Hagman and Hagman Report. Pastor Mike, do I have your permission to give that out?
Oh, absolutely. Please do, and I hope to talk about something on the objective, but you go ahead.
Oh, absolutely. We'll do that toward the conclusion here, and I know we're getting short on time. Folks, Hagman and Hagman Report, there's two N's on Hagman, H-A-G-M-A-N-N, on YouTube, two shows, June 25th, 2015, and October 9th, 2015. There's hours of content about Hollywood, the Luciferian agenda, etc. I also did the Josh Tolley Show back in March of 2015, just prior to the Hear the Watchmen conference. That's worth checking out. And lastly, if you are a Caravan to Midnight subscriber, that's John B. Wells' show out of Dallas, Caravan to Midnight, episode 339 from July of 2015 is really rich with the details that we just don't have time to go into tonight. Now, that being said, the conditioning has been there almost since day one. feature film is too big a story to go into right now, so I'll use television as an example. Early 1960s, JPL in Pasadena, Jack Parsons, big-time Luciferian witch, practitioner of witchcraft, trying to do nothing less, Pastor Mike, than create a Rosemary's Baby-type moon child to then sacrifice to Satan. Now, this is legitimate history, listeners. Jack Parsons teamed up with General Electric, who to this day is the corporate top of the corporate infrastructure for the Universal NBC Comcast branch of the tree. General Electric and Jack Parsons figured out that by using flicker rates, tonal harmonics, and what's called V-lock or vertical lock on your television, that they could massage one's mind into a hypnotic state of beta wave response. They did this to increase the potency and the impact and impression of commercials. Everybody in television, Pastor Mike, knows that the content of the show is just glue for the commercials.
Yeah.
However, they realized in short order that once they had people hypnotized and in that beta wave state, they were malleable mentally and spiritually to anything presented through the box, through what Anton LaVey called the satanic altar. This is used to this day to condition the minds of viewers. All I would encourage folks to do is punch up through Google, just type in people watching TV and look at their eyes. They're glazed over. They're slack-jawed. They are captivated by what they're watching. Quick anecdotal story and we can move on. Last year I was working on a big primetime show for NBC called Superstore. It starred America Ferrer, the star of the mid-2000s show Ugly Betty. I was on that show for 10 episodes, ultimately got fired and blacklisted from Universal. Again, listeners can hear that story October 9, 2015 of the Hagman Report. Anyway, I'm working on the show. Every morning they hand us what are called sides. Sides are a 50% reduced page of the scripts. So they're little 5x7 sheets of the scripted material that we're going to shoot that day. In the morning they hand them to us. They're still warm from the copy machine. We had an episode that had nothing to do with vaccines, nothing to do with anything to do with vaccines, but our show took place in a Walmart-like environment. Wouldn't you know, when the vaccination issue became big last year, we were handed one morning at 7 a.m., warm, right off the presses, sides, our work for the day, that incorporated a subplot, Pastor Mike, of people in line demanding their vaccination and complaining about who they are in the world and how important they are and why they should get a limited number, why they should receive a vaccine more than the person in line behind them.
Wow.
Total 100% controlled opposition and conditioning.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we don't have time on this show, but next time, John, we'll talk about the controlled opposition and conditioning tool known as the Central Intelligence Agency. They've had an office there in Hollywood almost since its inception, very influential in filmmaking and the message that gets out, but we'll talk about that another time, although it's very interesting. So how do we exercise discernment then on our viewing? Now, again, I don't go to the movies. That's just not something that I do. But I know a lot of believers that do. A lot of believers go to the movie. It's their part of their regular entertainment. What would you say to those folks as far as discernment? How can they sharpen their ability to discern what it is that they're watching and hearing?
Well, Pastor Mike, that is an excellent question. And I would begin with an examination of discernment. Where does discernment come from? Discernment is one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit that we receive upon recognition of our redemption through the blood of Christ and the power of his resurrection. And when we are sealed by the Holy Spirit, we are then given discernment. We are also given our Ephesians chapter 6, verses 12 and 13, armor. These are the weapons that we must use day in and day out when examining a battlefield as violent and as controlling and as manipulative as Hollywood. I'm just going to read quickly 2 Chronicles 7:14, and I would submit sincerely that anyone who's been a Christian for more than 15 minutes should know this scripture. It says, "If my people, which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will hear and will heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. That's where discernment begins. Yeah. Now, I like to go to the movies. I don't go often because, frankly, I can't find a lot of things to watch, Pastor Mike, but I know we're reaching the end of our time here this evening. With your permission, there are some fantastic new Christian films out. I'd like to bless the listeners.
Absolutely. We'll take as long, yes, we'll take as long as we need, John. So yes.
Oh, perfect. Okay.
Yeah, we're
folks,
good.
Write these down. First of all, Mel Gibson. I mean, the guy's had, who among us does not have sin issues that they are still in the process of being sanctified through the Holy Spirit? And Mel Gibson, like myself, has got those issues, and because of his fame, of course, those have been glaring front page headlines over the past couple years. But that does not take away from the work that he has, I would sincerely submit, has given to the church. The first, of course, being the 2004 release, Passion of the Christ, and most recently, this Friday, in fact, November 4th, his big-time World War II epic picture, Hacksaw Ridge, is coming out. And Hacksaw Ridge really resonates personally with me because my grandfather, my Grandpa Robertson, served in World War II. He was a Pentecostal Bible teacher, and he did not want to carry a rifle. He ultimately went into the Army and served in the European Theater of Operations as a medic, and that's what Hacksaw Ridge is about. It's about a pacifist who's basing his passivity on biblical instruction, who opts to pick up a medic's bag rather than a rifle and literally hold men's guts in after they've been eviscerated in combat so that they may live to see another day. These people were not cowards. They were heroes. Hacksaw Ridge, Mel Gibson. I'd also like to mention that did receive a standing ovation recently at the Cannes Film Festival. And incidentally, Pastor Mike, when I saw The Passion of the Christ, I saw an 11 a.m. showing in downtown Hollywood at the Arclight Cinema, which is hands down the premier movie theater in Hollywood. Tickets are $16. Stadium seating, it's the industry place to see films. When I saw Passion of the Christ there, Pastor Mike, when that film concluded, I've never seen this before, and I'm convinced I'll never see it again. That was a sold-out show. There's probably 600-700 people in this massive, you know, amphitheater. The credits rolled. The crowd, to a man and woman, remained stone silent, rose, and filed out, single file out of that theater. Not a word was said. Not a cough. Not a cell phone ring. Nothing. I've never seen anything like it before. Probably never will again. So, The Passion of the Christ, it should be in every believer's DVD collection, in my opinion. What a great conversation starter, you know?
Yes.
And Hacksaw Ridge coming out this Friday. Additionally, there's a great film that the Christian contemporary Christian artist Rebecca St. James, her brothers made a film called Priceless. Priceless is about a man who cannot find work and winds up embroiled in modern child trafficking. Again, that film is called Priceless. There's also a new film out that stars Jackie Velasquez, who incidentally is another artist that my dad used to promote her concerts.
Yeah, remember her.
Jackie Velasquez, she was great. Yeah. That film is called I'm Not Ashamed. So definitely want to add that to your list. That is made by Pure Flix. We want to always give a tip of the hat to Pure Flix out of Arizona.
Yes.
They're doing great work. And lastly, folks, Jeremy Wiles, Rick Wiles, the host of True News, his son Jeremy just finished a film that really draws parallels, Pastor Mike, between the Nazification of Germany. Now, Soaring Eagle listeners may not realize this, but in pre-World War II, Germany was the strongest evangelical Christian state in the entirety of Western Europe.
Yeah.
What happened to Germany? How did a nation that was stronger in evangelical Christians than England or France, how did they in one decade go from that to the horrors of a Nazi-controlled state systematically killing over 6 million Jews? Jeremy Wiles made a film called They Sang a Little Louder, and it is an indictment of the evangelical church in 1930s Germany. And he will actually be a guest this Friday, November 4th, on the Hagman Report. You can view, Soaring Eagle listeners, Jeremy Wiles, that's Wiles, W-I-L-E-S. His film is available free on YouTube. The title of that film, once again, They Sang a Little Louder, Jeremy Wiles, the filmmaker. So, Pastor Mike, I just wanted to give the listeners some options so that they can grab a bucket of popcorn and have a good time.
Yes, absolutely. Well, let's spend some time, John, talking about a new effort that you and I and a couple of other brothers are putting together, and this will be an announcement of this new work. I've never talked about this before on air, and outside of a small group of people, there aren't a lot of folks that are aware of this, but I'll let you introduce it and tell our listeners what it's going to be about.
Well, Pastor Mike, thank you so much for the honor and the privilege of doing so. Soaring Eagle listeners, brothers and sisters, we are at a extreme intersection in our nation's history. I would suggest and submit that evangelical Christians and the remnant body of believers are suffering extreme election anxiety. Why? Because we feel that on November 8th, we will receive nothing short of a phone call from God. What do I mean by that? I mean that the election results November 8th are going to ring our national bell, and we will then be informed whether or not we are going into the book of Daniel with a modern-day Cyrus, or are we going into the book of Lamentations? And I'll leave it at that. So in this environment, in this terse dynamic between the Revelation chapter 3, Church of Philadelphia versus the Church of Laodicea, how are we to behave? What are we to do? And listeners, what do we do about this enormous generation, the biggest generation since the post-World War II baby boomers, of millennials who are, as you often say, Pastor Mike, either none or done?
Yeah,
okay?
Right.
They not only have no relationship with Jesus Christ, they couldn't care less, and they're completely biblically illiterate. And as our brother Stephen Minking out of New York City often says, the millennials are a generation that has been lied to by a generation who has been lied to.
Mm-hmm.
So you see, these lies, these deceptions are generational, and they are handed down from one to the next. So what can we do about this? Well, it seems to me that it is time for a couple of things, and Pastor Mike, I'll bounce these off you. Ezekiel chapter 33, verses 1 through 6 informs us that in ancient Israel there were watchmen on the wall, and in fact, the IDF, the Israeli Defense Force, has an actual rank in their military of watchmen. It's comparable to a sergeant in the American Army. The watchmen, it was their charge, their divine charge, to not only constantly look to the horizon for the dust of the approaching enemy, but to warn their tribesmen, their tribespeople, and if they failed to do so, as we know, again, from Ezekiel and from Isaiah, that if they failed to keep that charge, the blood of their people would be on their own hands, as though the watchmen themselves had been the ones swinging the sword. So it is a very distinct, very serious charge to keep. Now, the nomenclature, or the title watchman, has become very popular in the last, let's say, 3 to 5 years among the frontline internet radio platforms, the writers and ministers who teach and preach on eschatology, deliverance, prophecy, etc. I think the watchman title may be, in fact, overused. However, one must ask oneself, is it enough to stand on the wall and scream out the warning, or do we have a charge to keep beyond that? Now, Soaring Eagle listeners, we didn't plan this, but it just kind of worked out this way. Our brother, Sergeant Tim, who's a 20-year recent retiree out of the armed services, a weapons inspector and Russian linguist, he suggested the title for a new show called On the Objective. Again, this wasn't planned. It was kind of a cool God shot. On the Objective is where we are going once we have stood on the wall and cried out the warning to the people. Pastor Mike, let me ask you a question. Let me flip the script on you, brother. Would you not agree that the time for shouting warnings has basically ceased, that it is now a time for action?
Yeah, once the barbarians are in the gate, screaming and hollering about them approaching, that's long over. You need to draw your sword, take up your shield, put on the helmet of faith, and get engaged in the battle.
Amen. And that goes back to what I said a moment ago. 2 Chronicles 7:14, Ephesians 6:12-13, take it to the bank, Soaring Eagle listeners. Those are the tools that we've been given to fight. And if we do not use those tools properly, then you better dust off Granddad's shotgun and hope you've got a few shells, because that's the tool that you'll have to fall back on. And I would submit that at that point, it's pretty late in the game. So we have created a new platform, Soaring Eagle brothers and sisters, called On the Objective. We have a website that is still in development, but we're in phase two of building it out, and that is ontheobjective.org. And essentially, and then I'll bounce it back to Pastor Mike for his thoughts, Steve Quayle, the author out of Montana, Steve Quayle, the commentator and best-selling author, often says that the Lord will bring you better friends than you could ever find on your own. And he is so correct in saying that, in suggesting that, because what happened was just through the love and the grace of God, and we'll talk about this on air when we launch the show, four men became friends, and the stories are unbelievable, but we can't go into them tonight. I met Sergeant Tim, who lives in Texas. Then we met Stephen Minking, our economics correspondent, our brother in Christ, who is in New York City, a former Morgan Stanley commodities and futures trader, a Wall Street wunderkind, if ever there was one. Stephen walked away from a seven-figure-a-year income potential to serve the Lord, and now tutors young, struggling students in math. Sergeant Tim, Stephen Minking, myself, John Robertson, 16-year veteran of Hollywood, a whistleblower on these frontline internet platforms the last couple of years, talking about the wicked machinations of Hollywood. Dr. Mike Spaulding, who is the most recent addition to the team. He's been with us for about 4 months now, and he brings such a wealth. I know he won't toot his own horn, so I'll toot it. So Pastor Mike has got some stories and some history, and he brings a wealth of experience to the team as well. So essentially, folks, we're covering the waterfront for you. International weapons inspection, Russian linguist, Hollywood, Wall Street out of New York City, and our brother and the host of Soaring Eagle Radio, Pastor Mike Spaulding. Pastor Mike, you want to add to that?
Yeah, it is a privilege and an honor to be involved in this new work, and we are discussing launch, and it's likely to be early 2017. We want to approach this in the right way and honor the Lord in all of our preparation and make sure we have all the T's crossed, I's dotted. But again, and we'll talk about this. John and I and Stephen and Sergeant Tim have discussed doing a show, an episode on Soaring Eagle, just to discuss how all of this came about, because it is a fascinating, fascinating story. How the Lord can bring someone from Seattle into connection, brother relationship with someone in Texas, and then someone in New York City, and then someone in flyover country here in Ohio. It's just an amazing story, and I think you'll be very interested in hearing about it. But to John's point, what we want to do is we want to offer encouragement, edification, and equipping for the body of Christ. We want to offer solutions. We want to offer action plans. We want to offer to our listeners a Christian theistic worldview on the news and the headlines that we're seeing today. And we'll spend an ample amount of time talking about all of that on not every episode, but probably at least half, I would say. John, would you agree with that?
Well, I would say, Pastor Mike, that your job will be the contextualizing and biblical underpinning of the other three of us hitting the skinny pedal on the right and driving the car straight to Crazy Town, USA.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
While we're speaking of the skinny pedal on the right, folks, Pastor Mike won't do this, and therefore I'm going to mark your calendars for Thursday, November 17th. Pastor Mike Spaulding has been kind enough, by way of complete transparency, listeners, I produce and package shows for the Hagman and Hagman Report, and I've been working with Doug and Joe Hagman for a number of years now. in one capacity or another. And Pastor Mike Spaulding has been kind enough, generous enough with his very limited time, to join us for his second appearance on the Hagman and Hagman Report. And again, that's going to be Thursday, November 17th at 8 o'clock Eastern. And Pastor Mike, I've got you down for 2 hours that night. So we're really going to hit some salient points. We're going to be post-election. Do you want to take a moment to give the Soaring Eagle listeners a little tease on what you're going to talk about November 17th?
Yeah, well, we're going to pick it up where we left off, and I think it was October the 4th was my first appearance with Doug and Joe, and an hour went
by.
Yeah,
we're still getting emails.
Well, praise God for that. Yeah, that hour went by about 5 minutes, it seemed like, and the next thing I knew, it was time to sign off, and so we still have a lot to cover. But what we want to do is we want to encourage our brothers and sisters, wherever they may find themselves, to really focus on the Lord, be in the Scriptures, and in a brotherly or sisterly manner, encourage their pastors to make sure that they're staying in the Word, they're preaching the Word, they're doing the things that they should be doing as a shepherd and as a watchman. And it may shock some people for me to say this. I hope that's not the case, but if you are in a church, in a fellowship, and your pastor is not preaching the Word, if the pastor is not talking about the headlines of the day, what's going on, and then contextualizing those from the Scripture. If you find yourself in a church where you're getting a Scripture read and then 15 or 20 minutes about your pastor's vacation or some kind of nonsense, then let me suggest to you, brothers and sisters, that you need to find another church. There are many good Bible-based, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching churches out there. You may have to look. But listen, when you do, when you go there, don't look for the same things that you just left. There's a reason that you left that place. You need to go in there and support that pastor in what he is doing, because it is a hard row to hoe these days, getting believers to get into the Word, to study the Scripture on their own, and to not just come into the morning service or midweek service expecting to be spoon-fed. Now, the folks at Calvary Chapel Lima, they are expecting every week to receive 60 minutes on Sunday morning of an expositorily delivered sermon. They expect to have steak on the menu every Sunday, and it is my goal, my desire to deliver that to them. So I guess I want to add this, John. We're going to be encouraging believers to join us on our show on The Objective, become part of the listening audience. We hope to have constant communication and feedback from that audience, and we hope to build a remnant army, if you will, of brothers and sisters who are going to stand up, put on the armor of God, Ephesians 6, day by day, and push back against this evil and this darkness that that we're seeing. So that's just a little taste of what I'll be talking about on November the 17th.
Well, amen. And Soaring Eagle listeners, I hope that just put some fresh rounds of ammo in your bandoliers, because what we are looking at, and I'll make this one of my final comments with your permission here this evening, Pastor Mike.
Sure.
Folks, what we're looking at today is nothing short of a choice that each of us must make in our hearts, exercising the level of discernment that has been apportioned to us from the Holy Spirit. And if your level of discernment is lacking, pray. Get into the Word.
Yes.
There is no law of diminishing return with discernment. It
yes.
is
Amen.
A cup that overflows, and the Lord will give you, I believe, as much as you can handle, or as much as you may need for the decisions that we may soon face. Now, I made a promise to myself prior to this chat with Soaring Eagle listeners this evening that I wouldn't get too political on this show, but I will say this. We are 1 week away from determining if we zig or zag, and if we restore the once great republic the representative republic that was these United States of America, or if we capitulate into what I believe will be an incremental tyrannical overreach by a central government headed up by Hillary Clinton, who is clearly a demoniac and has been noted by many, even in mainstream media, as being a fourth-degree witch. I have information, by the way, that her coven is in San Francisco. They meet in Pacific Heights. Again, we can cover that on another episode. But, folks, we are at a crossroads. We are at a moment. We are at, you know what we are? We are at a Gideon moment. So let's go down to the river, and we're going to determine whether we bend to drink, scoop the water with our hands, or perhaps, Soaring Eagle listeners, it's time to go to the river and gather five smooth stones.
Yes. Amen. Amen. John, I've enjoyed our conversation, and I know that our listeners have as well. And where can they follow up with you, John, for articles and information? And
oh, thank you so much, Pastor Mike. The fastest way to find me nowadays, folks, is just go to ontheobjective.org. Again, we are still in the build-out phase with our webmaster. We're working with an awesome former Marine up in the state of Maine. He's doing great work for us.
Yes.
But we are still building the website out. However, our contact page is completely functional. I would encourage listeners to reach out to myself. I do my level best to answer all my emails personally and with intelligent response to questions people may have. Soaring Eagle listeners, if you've ever wondered when you watch credits roll on a screen, what is a grip? What is a Best Boy Electric? What on earth is craft service? And what's the difference between a camera operator and a director of photography? Just shoot me an email. You can find me on theobjective.org, the contact page. And I would encourage listeners to visit On the Objective as we build out the website and get ramped up for our new show, because we are posting original content almost daily. Pastor Mike is writing some awesome stuff lately about worship music, where does it fit into the church, some good stuff on apologetics, certainly fearlessly rooting out the word faith, name it, claim it, satanic infiltration of the postmodern church. We've got Stephen Minking punching out awesome articles about not only the economy, but looking at the economy through a biblical lens and,
yes,
and stewardship and God's economy.
Yes.
Sergeant Tim is constantly putting out new information on the geopolitical, saber-rattling world that we can't seem to escape, and I write what I can about Hollywood on theobjective.org.
Yes, absolutely. Well, John, that was just the tip of the iceberg, and we're going to have to come back and do another show, and of course get our brothers here as well, Stephen and Sergeant Tim. But we'll talk about that and get that scheduled. I appreciate you so much, John. You've been a great friend and encourager, and looking forward to what the Lord is going to do in and through us and on the Objective. So thanks for joining me for this episode.
Well, Pastor Mike, thank you so much. And a final thought for all of the Soaring Eagle Radio listeners all across the globe. Hebrews 11:1, fear and faith cannot and do not coexist.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, John. God bless you, my friend.
God bless you, too. Thank you so much, Pastor Mike.
Soaring Eagle Radio is a production of Transforming Word Ministries and is released under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 4.0 International License. You may subscribe to the show on iTunes, follow us on Facebook where you can discuss this episode, and of course follow Soaring Eagle Radio on Twitter at Soaring Eagle Rad, and listen to every episode from our website, www.soaringeagleradio.com. The opening audio montage collection was created by Micah 68 Productions. You can visit them on the internet at www.mika68.com for more information. Friends, remember the Apostle Paul's admonition to the believers meeting in Rome. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. I'm your host, Mike Spaulding. Thank you for joining us today for this edition of Soaring Eagle Radio.
Thanks for tuning in today to the Soaring Eagle Radio program. For more information about the show, write us at Soaring Eagle Radio, 682 West Grand Avenue, Lima, Ohio, 45801. You may also contact Mike directly by email at the following address, pastormike@woh.rr.com. God bless you today as you seek